Welcome to Brand by Design with your host, certified BG5 business consultant, myself, Ashley Brana Eve. The goal of this podcast is to help you create a clear, consistent, creative, personal brand to help you stand out and get paid for what you are best at. If you are ready to leverage your unique expertise and build a highly profitable, personally fulfilling business, this is the place. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I want to talk to you today about the question, are you the niche? Now, you might be thinking, Ashley, I follow you on Instagram, and I know you have a new free mini course coming out this week called You Are the Niche. And I also know, because I am in the BG5 Business Bundle membership, that you have a course in there called You Are the Niche, Sleeping Phoenix Business Paradigm. Are you now telling me then I am not the niche? Hang with me here, because I 100% believe that yes, you are the niche. And I also believe that this is more nuanced than what we're often told in the online coaching space of just say what you want, just show up how you want. If you would buy it, then it's okay, right? That very vague messaging doesn't work, one, because it's not taking into account copywriting and marketing, but two, who you are actually designed to speak to. While you may be the niche, may not actually be buying, purchasing, and thinking like you. And I want to get into that today. And yes, you learn more about that in the You Are the Niche Sleeping Business Paradigm, which is available in the BG5 Business Bundle membership, which is a self-paced membership. You get access to over $5,000 worth of courses. It's all my courses I've ever launched other than Brand by Design included in the membership. Plus, we have multiple monthly guest experts that are chosen from the community. I want to spotlight you. I want to help you grow your brand and increase your network. And I'm continuously putting new trainings in there. In fact, in 1 week, not even a week, in less than a week, the first module for Keys to Cash 2.0 is dropping exclusively in the membership, and it was originally going to be sold for $599. So yes, you can learn more about this for $55 a month in the membership and all the details you want to go into. But let's get into it today. Number one, I want to say, yes, absolutely, you are the niche. We are tribal beings. Therefore, we want to be around people that are like us. And we want to be around people that can relate to us and that see us for our struggles and where we want to be. And very often, your people are, you know, it's so cliche, and this doesn't take into account every niche. However, it does apply here. So I'm going to say it. Your people are often a few steps behind you. In BG5, we say your mess is your message. Where you go to school in life through your openness is meant to be wisdom to serve the people you're meant to serve. Therefore, you are the niche because you've gone to school in life through your openness. You've gained all of this wisdom. The whole point is to, which I'll teach you guys in Keys to Cash 2.0, is to sell to the definition where you are open, and you're selling that wisdom. So of course you are the niche because it is your experience, your knowledge, everything that you've gone through, the combination of your strengths, which is your definition, with your wisdom, which is your openness, that allows you to serve who you are meant to serve. As well, when we look at sales psychology, people are going to buy from people that are using words they use. This is something I was talking to the members in the BG5 Business Bundle about. I said, you need to have messages that are clear over clever. Clever doesn't sell. If people have to leave the platform, Google, or even think these days, let's be honest, we're all busy. We've all got a million things to do. We don't want to think about your carousel. If they have to leave the platform, Google, think about it, try to figure out, or especially this is going out to fifth lines and second lines, project on you what they think you mean, you've already lost. Clear over clever. So we want to also, from a sales psychology perspective, be using words that our people use. And that can even be as simple as, let's just use me as an example. I very rarely use the word leaders, even though my clients are leaders in their niche, but my clients don't see themselves as that. In fact, when they realize they're leaders in their niche, when they realize they're revolutionary leaders and revolutionizing directions within their marketplace, they're almost a little uncomfortable with that because they don't see themselves as leaders, even though they are. So my clients tend to see themselves more as like the black sheep, introverted, the rebel. Yeah, just someone that's on the outskirts, if you will. I grew up in the punk rock community. So I just think of like on the outskirts, not invited to the table. My clients have spent their entire life not invited to the table. So they've had to learn how to build their own and find their own solutions. And then they sell that back to people. So if I use the word leader over and over in my marketing, it falls on deaf ears. Yet, if I use words like black sheep, outcast, rebel, revolutionary, it lands with who I want it to land with, even though my people are leaders. They just don't see themselves as. So it's really important that we are using words that resonate with our people. And at the end of the day, I've said this before, I actually, as part of my email funnel that I was just creating, I put as per the copywriting in there that I've always been uncomfortable with the idea of leader, being a leader. I'm a 4'6", baby. I'm meant to be the role model. Therefore, as you could see just from that, it's not just words that my clients use and who I desire to serve use, but it's actually words I use. I don't want to be seen as the guru. I don't want to be seen as the leader. In fact, if I get messages from people saying, I want to work with you because you're a human design guru, it's probably the wrong coaching relationship for me and for them, because I don't see myself as a guru. I believe you are your own guru. I believe you are the expert. You are your authority. And I'm just here to guide the process and use my wisdom and skills to correct the patterns that aren't working in your brand and help you bring visionary directions. That's using my strengths and my body graph. That's describing my strengths and my body graph. That's what I'm here to do. So, number one, yes, you are the niche. We are tribal beings. The words you use, how you speak, how you show up, those rough around the edges pieces that you've probably been judged for all your life are what are actually going to make you stand out in the online space. And it's going to be the words your dream clients use. It's going to be the way they want to show up, the way they want to speak. And that's why it's so critical to be authentic. Because if you're trying to be someone else, because you saw someone else that was successful by being a certain way, your people can't see you. So you are the niche, you are the brand. And there's a nuance to this. There's actually two nuances. Number one, depending on the archetype you are meant to serve, they may be purchasing for very different reasons than why you purchase. Depending on the archetype of who you serve, they may be attracted to things that are very different than what attracts you to something. I am a generator 4-6. This is my body graph here. So you can see there, I'm a 4-6 profile and I'm here to serve. And I go into this in the BG5 business bundle. You are the niche, sleeping Phoenix business paradigm. Words are hard today, apparently. And I also obviously help you with this in brand VIP days, as well as the brand by design mastermind. We tailor this specifically for you and your brand in those spaces. So I'm here to serve the twos. Now, the first thing I want to say is that a lot of people get this confused and believe that second line or the two is a niche. That's not a niche. It's how you can, one, get specific on what your people are looking for. So serving the twos, my marketing and copywriting specifically is tailored to and speaks to those that desire to get paid for what they're best at. You see that over and over and over in my copywriting and marketing. I'm a fourth line. I'm not looking to get paid for what I'm best at. I'm just externalizing my knowledge. That marketing and copywriting would not land with me. I would not buy it. I'm a fourth line. I'm just out here externalizing as the role model. However, my copywriting and marketing is tailored to the twos. Get paid for what you're best at. Leverage your natural strengths. I have, and the tools I use to support that are BG5, Human Design, Gene Keys, and I bring in some of the positive psychology tools as well, such as the Gallup Strengths Finder and the VIA Character Strengths Tests. I bring those in to help my clients leverage what they are best at. So all of my marketing, another tagline you hear me say a lot is reveal your hidden potential. That is such a two-line thing. That's such a thing for the twos. They want to leverage their potential. They want to leverage their gifts and they need someone to call it out. They need someone to support them in that. So depending on the archetype of who you are meant to serve, they're not necessarily drawn to the same things in copywriting and marketing. Now, and this is where working with me personally in the Brand VIP days or in my Brand by Design Mastermind is effective, highly effective, because we can look at your full design, we can look at your brand, and we can tailor it because we're still using the same words. This is what's so important. My brand dictionary and my brand vocabulary still have the words revolutionary, black sheep, outcast, et cetera, et cetera. Because that's how we see ourselves. And that's what we connect over. I always say that I build the table that I wish had been there. I wasn't invited to any of the tables. The Sleepy Phoenix course is everything. I'm so glad you're enjoying it. I wasn't invited to any of the tables. I didn't fit in at any of the tables ever, even in high school. I would dread lunch in high school. I don't know if you guys can relate, because I didn't fit in anywhere. I would go to cheerleading practice and go play soccer with the athletes and was being recruited for soccer. And then I'd go home and be kind of like the weird horse girl. And I literally didn't fit in anywhere. So I would dread lunch. I would even, growing up, there was days that I would like hide in the barn before school because I didn't want to go to school because I was just an outcast. I didn't fit in anywhere. And that played over when I got into the online space as well. I didn't fit in anywhere. So then I started cutting off pieces of self so that I would fit in. I started thinking, okay, if I show up like this, then I'll be accepted. Then people will like me. Then, you know, I'll be able to reach people and speak to people. But the more pieces of myself I cut off, the more I repelled the people I wanted to work with and attracted the wrong people. And it created a whole host of issues on the back end of my business. It's actually all those things that I was outcast for, that I didn't fit in for, that allowed me to build a table to bring people that related to that too, right? Like, that is the core of my brand. That's the core of you being the niche. And that doesn't mean that just because they are like you, they're buying like you. And this is a nuance that's so important, because people are just saying, well, this is how I buy, or this is why I buy, or this is what attracts me to marketing. Okay, and it's not necessarily what's attracting your clients. You know, a lot of my clients as well with the second line archetype have some fears over projections. And so we're working through a lot of visibility and increasing visibility within their brand and working through the not self stories that come with the projections as a two. I work with a lot of fifth lines as well. And that's the reason being is they're in harmony. The second line and the fifth line are in harmony. We're not going into this here. We're not going too deep into it here, but you're probably like, I've heard you say you work with a lot of fifth lines. What gives? And how astute of you to figure that out and to be around and notice that. Yes, I do work with a lot of fifth lines. There is harmony in the five and the two. So I talk a lot about projections and how a lot of people are doing what they think they should do in business rather than what they truly want to out of fear. And that's a message that's going to land with the two or the five, because five and two are in harmony. They are both dealing with projections from others. So that's one of the reasons why I tend to attract a lot of fifth lines, because my messaging, which is tailored to the two, is also in harmony with the five. So number one, I want you to keep that in mind is, yes, you are the niche. You need to be okay with leveraging all those sticky, crunchy places within yourself that you've been told are wrong all the years, over the years. And depending on the archetype, does not mean just because they're like you that they're purchasing like you or looking for the same solutions as you. And there's multiple ways that we can build that out within your brand. Ultimately, you have to test things out. One, I would do market research and look at, okay, the people I want to serve, what are actually the solutions they're looking for? What are their problems and what are the solutions they're looking for? I would do market research so that you're actually testing from a place that makes sense rather than just throwing spaghetti at the wall, and then test things out, see how it goes. In fact, I was telling my community that in 2023, the reason I actually started the You Are the Brand series was testing. I did $55 workshops, tested it out with not huge expectations on, and I try to keep as many parameters the same in each one. It was just the topic that was changing. I kept the launches the same, the sales pages basically the exact same. I kept as many variables the same as I could, and I just tested out about six workshops. And I assumed the one that was going to skyrocket sales within the brand was the selling ones, make money ones, but it wasn't. It was actually the copywriting one, which was selling like hotcakes, and the brand message one, which was selling like hotcakes. And the other one sold, but it was a lot harder to sell. It took a lot more energy because that wasn't what my community was looking for. So what I ended up doing then from that testing place is I took those concepts and I turned them into signature offers rather than just one-off workshops, which has also bled over into 2024 and building out the brand from there. So the reality is, yes, you're going to have to test things out in business and you're constantly going to be testing things out. There's never a time or place where it's like, we hear so much about passive income in the online space. Funnels can have passive income, but it doesn't mean you do nothing. It doesn't mean you just create a funnel and, you know, sit back and sip mojitos for the rest of your life because the funnel is just going to generate millions of dollars every year. It doesn't work like that. So you're going to test things out, whether paid or free, whether it's your social media posts and seeing what's landing with your audience or it's split testing sales pages, you're going to test things out and see what works. You have to be willing to fail. You have to be willing for the majority, probably 98, 99% of your ideas, your concepts, your posts, your marketing to not work so that you can hit the perfect note. Perfect note. And then number two, this was something I was actually speaking about with Hello Beautiful with my mastermind clients. Was it yesterday? I believe it was yesterday. I left them a voice note about this. And I said, different types are stopping for different reasons as well. And a big thing in the online space, maybe 4 years ago, when people started picking up on human design and getting passionate about it was, oh, manifestors, just inform, just tell people what you have coming and it removes resistance and people will buy. And so, of course, when I came in here being like, it's not as easy as that, and with actual practical strategy, people are like, no, bitch, it's easier to do what she said. I just have to tell people what I'm doing and people are going to buy. And what I witnessed, God mark my words right now, what I witnessed at that time was manifestors just informing people. And then very quickly, those manifestors' businesses closing down. Why? Just because you inform people does not mean they want what you have. And number two, when we're looking at, say, let's go with the manifestor example. One, do they want what you have? Have you been listening to your community? Have you been looking at the market? Are you filling a gap in the market? And number two, when we're looking at the manifestor, you're what? 8% of the population. I don't think the Jovian Archives done new statistics, but previously 8% of the population. Well, we got a numbers problem because 70% of the population is responding yes or no. That's how they respond to things. They can't respond yes or no to you just being like, I got this new offer coming tomorrow and I'm just informing you. Okay. Congratulations. And as a generator, that is how I act. And that's what the narrative is in my head. When I see it manifest or just be like, I'm just informing you that a course is dropping tomorrow. You're going to love it. My guides downloaded it to me overnight. And like, it's just for you. Okay. I don't know what you want me to do with that. So what you have to keep in mind now, if you're a manifestor doing that, is 70%, likely 70% of your audience is thinking that when you're out there just informing them. And it might, here's the thing I also said in my mastermind. So I said, it might look a little different if you have a really established brand and people are seeking you out because of who you are. And yet at that point in your business, you wouldn't be making that mistake. So it negates the fact that you could get away with it because you actually would not make that mistake if you got to that point in your business where you're a massive name and you're making millions and millions per launches. You just wouldn't make that mistake. You would have a proper launch. You'd be taking into account sales psychology. You would be looking at tailoring your copywriting and messaging rather than just be like, I have a course tomorrow and, you know, I'm informing you. So another thing to keep in mind, so we have 70% of the population that are yes, no. You also want to elicit yes, no, in your audience, right? So a good hook would be a yes, no, and you get the yes from the right people and they keep reading. But two, and I'm going to be cautious with this one because what I'm about to say applies to everyone in the population. We are tribal beings. That is just how humans are. And it's more nuanced for the projectors. You have about 20 to 22% of your audience, which are projectors. Their core desire is to be seen and recognized. So if we continue this example with the manifestor, if you're just out here informing people, I can nearly guarantee your projector audience members, community members aren't feeling seen and recognized, especially if you miss the mark and you were just doing something that you wanted to do and you were making it about you, which I see a lot in the online space. And then people wonder why their brand isn't growing. It's not about you. You might be a personal brand, but it's not about you. It's about serving people. It's about helping people. And if that gap can't be closed, you're going to struggle growing a personal brand. So you might be out here. I know I'm kind of picking on the manifestors right now. You guys know I love you. I have so many manifestor clients. It's just a good example and we're rolling with it. So you have a manifestor say, I'm just informing you guys that I have a manifestation course coming tomorrow. And it's going to help you find the love of your life. You can sign up tomorrow at the link in my bio. What if your entire audience has no interest in finding the love of their life? And their real problem is, oh my goodness, I don't know, say healing from divorce. Let's just go with this. I don't know where relationships came from or marriage, but healing from divorce. And your primary audience are women that, you know, they hit like a midlife point and realize the life they built wasn't one they wanted. And now what? They've burned everything down. They've quit their job. They've left their partner. And now you're just informing them that you have a course about finding the love of your life. And they're like, shit, like, no. I always joke that, you know, of course we're not going to. But if Scott and I were to ever go our separate ways, it would be me. I'd be truly the crazy chicken lady. It would just be me and my chickens for the rest of my life. Right? So what happens? You've done everything right. I'm using air quotes for those that listen on the podcast. You've done everything right. You've informed your audience, but you've completely missed the fucking point because you haven't listened to them. And not only have you not listened to them and what their problems are and what they want a solution for, but you haven't seen and recognized them for the projectors. And here's the thing. My biggest pet peeve with Human Design and BG5 is that's not an exclusive projector problem for your audience. It's a problem for your entire audience, regardless of their type. Because the reality is, if you want to sell shit to people, it has to be relevant to them. That's like basic bitch marketing 101. It needs to be relevant to them. So, you know, I use the projector. Sure, it's a theme that's a little bit more amplified with them. But if you're missing the mark, you're missing the mark with everyone. And I often have clients that come to me and say, well, you know, this is who's in front of me right now, but I really want to work with this group. And we have two things we can do. One, if you're like, I have enough money for the next year that if I don't make one sale, I really don't care. Perfect. Let's build out the new audience. If you don't care if you're making one sale, you have enough money reserved and saved up that you can build out a completely new direction, let's go for it. I'm all for that. I love hard pivots. I've been the queen of hard pivots. I love them. And if you come to me and you say, Ashley, you know, I can't afford to not make money. I need money now. I've just left corporate. I need to replace that income now. I have a minimum need to come into the business of $5,000 a month. How many of you are looking at that as an aside? Very few spiritual people come into my, well, it's not the same anymore so much, but more so back in the day, very few people come into my world knowing how much they have to make. They're like, I just want to help people. Bitch, you have to help yourself first. How are you going to help people if you can't keep your internet on? Very few people that come into my world actually know how much they have to make to break even and then pay themselves. So say you come to me on a brand VIP day and you go, Ashley, I need money. I need $5,000 a month minimum. And who is in my audience right now, who is watching my content right now is not who I want to serve long-term. Perfect. And let's sell to them, solve their problems, figure out the help they want as we build out a new direction and brand strategy. So that's something to keep in mind. If you go, well, Ashley, who's in front of me and what they are responding to right now is not actually who I want to have a response from, or not actually who I want my brand to help feel seen and recognized. Perfect. No problem. No shame in that game, guys. You're going to grow. You're going to leave people behind in your brand. You're going to leave people behind that have been long-term members of your community. And you're going to leave people behind that just followed you today. And in 6 months from now, you're in a new direction. That happens. And in fact, most people, well, I would say the people in my world, maybe not most people in terms of society itself, honor and respect that because you give them permission to grow and change as well on their journey. But that's something to keep in mind, right? So if you come to me and you go, well, Ashley, the generators in my audience, they're saying yes to something that I can't do long-term. I don't want to do long-term. I don't want to serve those problems long-term. It'll drain the ever-living life force out of me. Perfect. Let's serve them. Let's create solutions for them and build out the business. But either way, we have to keep in mind that different types, and here's the thing, there's deeper nuances there. This is like a paintbrush. This is where I can actually go, like the brand VIP days, guys, are where we can actually go into the layers. You're never going to get the layers in a free training at the end of the day. You're never even going to get the layers in a course because I'm not there with my hands in your business, in the layers of your body graph, because generators, based on their activation, are responding to very different things. Where someone's openness is responding to very different things based on where they're caught in the not self. So it's just important as an overarching theme to also be aware and conscious of the fact that different types are stopping for different reasons. And manifestors desire to have an impact. We can include that in the marketing that you're doing tailored for the generators and the projectors, because you're helping people see how they can have an impact. The reflectors, their biggest fear is being invisible. Well, that's hand in hand with being seen and recognized by the projector or for the projectors. And this is also why I always say to everyone, like, don't get so caught up in this shit. You're going to get lost in the weeds or lost in the sauce, as one of my clients said the other day, and I nearly died. Someone said that once to me before, sent me an email. It was the first time I had ever heard lost in the sauce, and I nearly died laughing. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But you'll get lost in the weeds if you're making this mean too much. You're like, oh, okay, now I have to like figure. No, don't worry about it, because the projectors want to be seen and recognized. The greatest fear of the reflectors is being invisible. That's one. That's the same thing in terms of marketing and copywriting. So anyway, yes, you are the niche, but we also have to keep in account the different types as well. And yes, no, as well, in terms of sales psychology is critical. You want to get the yes so people keep reading, not just because they're a generator. However, people are going to stop and stay engaged with content that is captivating, first of all. If you're boring the tears out of people, sorry, but they're likely not sticking around. I hate to say it. Who stuck around? Like, let's be honest. Who stuck around for the professor in university that was like monotone and boring AF? Probably not. You probably slept in those days and, you know, just showed up for the exam. So they're going to stop for content that's captivating. However, the captivating content has to be relevant to them. All right. So while yes, you are the niche, we have to keep in mind these nuances to make sure that you're getting paid for what you are best at with a brand that hits the right people. I'm telling you guys, smallest viable niche wins. In my masterminds, people are shocked. They're like, oh my goodness, how did she? And they always look at like the one person that's like, just like, boom, skyrocketing, right? How did she do it? What is she doing? Well, one, often that person has been in the game for a few years, but two, that person has chosen the smallest viable niche and has become hyper relevant within that smallest viable niche. Find your purpose, feel better. Can't even think of any off the top, but broad ass messaging speaks to no one in these days. The reality is your niche in terms of clients are not, they're not growing as fast as competitors are coming in. And it's a lie if anyone tells you differently. So what you have to look at over time in your brand is becoming more hyper relevant to the smallest viable niche. And it's funny because I can tell you a little bit of a story. Someone had said this to me years ago and I didn't believe it until it was like, well, shit, that's true. About 5 years ago, I got caught up in the whole like, fuck the niche thing. And I had someone say to me like, look, get hyper relevant now to the smallest viable niche. And if you want to down the road, when you have like a name that people are seeking out, if you want to go broad then. But right now, focus on the smallest viable niche. And I can't remember what specific, like the words have stuck in my mind. I can't remember specifically who said it to me. And I was told, you know, but what you're probably going to find is the further along you are, the more simple you want things to be because simple scales. And let me tell you how true that is. Like, newbie Ashley made shit so complicated, which I see all the time in the online space, making things so complicated. And then a lot of people are going, well, you know, I'm exhausted because I'm a projector, or I'm exhausted because I'm a reflector, when it's the reality of your business model is like hot mess express dumpster fire, right? So while I say focus on smallest viable niche now, and if you want to go broader later, go broader, what you'll probably find if you're still in the game in 5 years, 10 years, is you value simplicity so much as you go. And also, it also reminds me, I was saying this to a client the other day, we were laughing about it. She pushed back about this in the beginning. And I said, you know, when you were a kid and you're wanted you to go to bed at 8:30 because they wanted to go to bed at 8:30, or they just wanted like a half an hour silence. And as a kid, you would fight back so much on that and be like, no, I want to stay up late. And then as an adult, you're like, shit, like I so value my sleep. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You start to realize after a while that your business being your baby is just not the vibe long-term and you burn out from it. So that's what I would say is start with the smallest viable niche. If you desire one day to go wider down the road, but I can nearly guarantee that once you start seeing the payoff of a simple brand that is clear and consistent and does the heavy lifting for you, you'll never go back. You'll never go back. For me, most of my content now is repurposed content for Instagram. I have folders upon folders of 5 years worth of content because your job as a brand owner is to say the same thing in new ways. So I might tweak a couple words, but I'm not recreating new content anymore. Even the things I talk about in lives, the same things I've been talking about for years. Your job is to find new ways to say the same thing, to keep people captivated, not to entertain people. Your job is not to entertain people, to captivate with your content, to convert the right people. I want you to write that down. Your job is to captivate with your content, to convert the right people. All right, my friends. So that is your training for today. I'm going to let you go. Yes, you are the niche. However, we need to take nuances into account. Otherwise, your message is not going to land and you're going to be on the Hot Mess Express struggle bus. All right. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please take a screenshot, share it over on Instagram at Ashley Brianna Eve, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.